If you're in the building, please be seated. Let me add my welcome. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the other pastors here at the church. And this morning, I'm going to be getting God's word open with us. And we're going to be thinking about our verse for the year. But that falls right in the middle of a whole chapter, Romans chapter 12. And so we're going to read the whole of that chapter together this morning, Romans 12. And we're going to read verses 1 through to 21. Now, just as you're turning there, whether that's on an electronic device or whether you've got a paper Bible with you, let me just explain a little bit about Romans, because we're actually going to look at Romans on Sunday mornings together, starting next Sunday. But chapters 1 through to 11 of Romans is gloriously unfolding for us the gospel, this thing we call the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it kind of, if it's a picture, it shades in all the contours and all the beauty, and you get it in such detail that it leaves you saying, wow, that's the gospel we believe. And then in chapter 12 of Romans, which we're going to read now, what we hear is how we should live as those who have received or been partakers of this mercy that God has showed us through Jesus Christ. So we're going to read a chapter now that just feels full of instructions. And if you're new to Christianity, it'll feel like, oh, well, this is what I thought Christianity was all about, just rules and rules and rules. But actually, these are rules, instructions, for those who have been shown mercy in Jesus Christ. So we're going to read that. Let me read that to us now, Romans 12, and then we'll have a think about our verse for the year. Therefore, Paul writes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encouragement, give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And here's our verse for the year. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll have a think about our verse for the year together. Our Father in heaven, we come together this morning, either here in person or we're tuned in from home, because we want to hear your voice. We want to hear you, the living God, speak to us, speak into all that we're experiencing and going through right now. Many of us feel a bit weary, a bit flat. We're struggling with the prospect of another year of the same restrictions, the same fears, the same struggles. Father, please speak a word of exhortation to us today, a word of comfort. You promise us in the Bible that your word, this book, will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Please would it direct us today on how we should behave and respond in such a time that we're living. May we hear the voice this morning of our good shepherd, and may we follow him. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to give my message for this verse for the year a title this morning. And the title or the headline for this message this morning is this: when 2021 is looking like it's going to be another hard year. When 2021 is looking like it's going to be another hard year. Now, I want to give it that title because I think that's where we realistically find ourselves today, isn't it? We're still living under restrictions. We're still unable to see people close to us, perhaps that we haven't seen for ages, loved ones, whatever the relation they may be to us, friendships, families, whoever it may be. We're still unable to do church the way that we used to do church, the way that we long to do church. I mean, we're so spaced out here in the building. Some of you are sitting on your sofas. This isn't the way we want to do church. Schools are about to be thrown up in the air again. Kids are going to have to be homeschooled again, which fills some of us with absolute terror and dread. Maybe for some of us, actually just more working from home just seems a bit too much. But maybe as you face into 2021, it's not COVID struggles. It's other struggles, struggles you carried into COVID, struggles that will come out the other side of COVID. And those are your struggles when 2021 is looking like another hard year. So what are we to do? As followers of the Lord Jesus, and that's who we are as a church, followers of the Lord Jesus, how should we approach, how should we do 2021? What directions does God give us as we approach a new year, as we approach another hard year, difficult year? I guess many of us at New Year's often have a little spring in our step, don't we? A little kind of looking forward to the year, things that might be coming up. But I guess that spring in the step has gone a little bit this year, hasn't it? So what instructions does God have for us as we face into another hard year? Well, friends, that's where Romans 12, verse 12 helps us. God says to his people, he says to his church, he says to us, be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. And be faithful in prayer. Actually, there's a lot of things God's word says to us, but we've picked these this year to guide us and to help us. Three instructions for those of us who are following the Lord Jesus. And they're three instructions, first of all, for Christians. I want to be really clear about that. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1, if you have a Bible. They're for people who have been shown mercy by God. Look at Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of all that he's done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your proper worship. Romans 12, 12 are instructions for those of us who have been loved and forgiven and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're also instructions that are empowered by Jesus Christ. He doesn't just save you and then leave you to it. No, he enables you to live this way, to live out this verse for the year that we've got. Look at Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Something that happens to us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's mercy doesn't just save us, it changes us. And it changes us and enables us to live out our verse for the year. So here we are, three instructions. And I want to summarize them like this for us as a church this morning. What's the thrust of the message for us as Christians as we enter another hard year? Well, here they are. As followers of Jesus, let's keep hopeful, let's keep going, and let's keep praying as we enter 2021. Let's keep hopeful, let's keep going, and let's keep praying as we enter 2021. I'm just going to work through those this morning, seek to apply them to us, and then we'll pray them in at the end. So here we go. First of all, let's keep hopeful. Look how our verse for the year starts. It says, be joyful in, what does it say? Hope. Be joyful in hope. Now, hope is a word that we've seen used a lot recently, haven't we? Even on the headlines of the papers on New Year's Day, it was hope for a new year. This year is full of hope for the nation. Hope headlines was what it was all about. Hope that things would change soon. I think I distinctly remember Boris Johnson saying quite early on, sort of April time, something like, well, I hope it'll all be back to normal by Christmas. We tend to use hope, don't we, to mean kind of an uncertain expectation. We hope that this happens, but we can't be sure. And many of us have been failed by that kind of hope, haven't we? Have you been failed by that kind of hope? This past year has been an experience of failed hopes. We can't be blamed for entering 2021 a little bit hopeless, a little bit suspicious of hope. As the proverb says in the Bible, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I think lots of us are experiencing that. Our nation's experiencing that. But as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, as those who have been and those who are being shown mercy by God, we have been given a hope, not an uncertain expectation, wishful thinking, but we have been given a solid reality. Now, what is that solid reality that you have as a Christian? Well, it is not merely the return of life to how it was pre-COVID. No, we have what the Bible calls the hope of glory. It is the hope of Jesus coming again and putting this world right, making everything new, he says. It is the hope of an eternal inheritance, one that will not perish or spoil or fade. It is the hope of a world that Revelation tells us will have no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because this old order of things that we're living through and experiencing right now will pass away. It is the hope of being with our perfect and loving Lord Jesus forever. That's our hope. And this hope for us as Christians is the perfect assurance of the ultimate outcome of life. It's that ability to say, well, I know it will be all right in the end. Keep hopeful. This hope is so fundamental, friends, to the Christian life that Paul speaks of it over 36 times in the letters he writes in the New Testament. For those of us trusting in the Lord Jesus, if that is you this morning, you have been given a new life, new birth into a living hope. Not an unexpected expectation, as it were, but into a solid reality. And friends, that solid hope, that certain future, should be a source of joy to us in the present. A source of gladness to us. Look at the verse for the year. What does he say? Be joyful in hope. He says to the Christians he's writing to in Rome, be glad, be happy about this, be joyful in it. Seek to find your inner peace in this reality that Jesus is coming again. Seek to find your joy that this is the certain outcome of your life. The hope of glory. Whatever happens, that is our hope. That is our reality. Lots of things that have brought us joy have been stripped away from us at the moment, haven't they? The things that would ordinarily bring us a bit of kind of happiness of heart, happiness of soul, have been taken away. It could be seeing loved ones. It could be the gathering together in church and being able to sing together. That brings me great joy, being able to pelt out a song, however untunefully I do it, but at least we can be together. Now, I miss that. Could be, for example, that some of us just miss going out for a meal or going to see friends that we know and love. Our sources of joy have been stripped away, but for the Christian, our joy should be found in something that people cannot take away, the hope of glory, the hope of Jesus coming again. I was reminded this week that actually the early Christians, the people who Paul wrote these words to, that actually they had very little in the world to be joyful about, and they had very little to hope in earthly terms. And yet they were always able to rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 4 verse 4. They were always able to rejoice in the hope of glory, Colossians 1 verse 27. And so friends, as we enter another year, be joyful. Be glad. Speak to your soul about this hope that we have. Now, how do we do that? You know, joy isn't just a switch, is it? You can't just tell yourself to be joyful. I mean, come on, Nathan, look at all the circumstances we're living through at the moment. Can we really do it? Well, according to a guy called John Calvin, he's a previous Christian, a theologian, he writes really helpfully about this little phrase, rejoice in hope. Because you see, Paul warns us again and again against remaining content with finding our joy in earthly things. And so Calvin really helpfully says this. He says, raise our minds to heaven that we may enjoy full and solid joy. Raise your minds to heaven. As we enter 2021, what will you do? What will you do very practically to raise your mind to heaven? You see, you cannot be joyful about something you never think about. You cannot be joyful about something that you're not looking forward to. As we enter 2021, be joyful. Seek your joy. Tell your soul to be glad in the hope that we have, the hope of Jesus coming again. We need to remind ourselves regularly of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. If you do not put before yourself, church, the gospel of Jesus, that you are forgiven by him, you are kept by him, and he is coming again for you, if you don't put that before yourself, then you will never be joyful in the hope that we have. You can do that with songs. You can do that by getting the scriptures open every day and just consuming some of the gospel. Are you going to be deliberate, as Calvin calls it, to raise your mind to heaven, to raise your mind to the hope that you have? And I want to ask some of you this morning, is that your hope? Is that the hope that you have? If it's not your hope, then it can be. It can be your hope as you put your trust in Jesus as the source of God's mercy to you. He promises to forgive you. He promises to grant to you a future that you don't deserve. I want to say to you today, if that is not your hope, then join us in that hope. Learn to rejoice with us. Find joy with us in this hope to come. Not wishful thinking, but a certain reality. So as followers of Jesus, as we face into a hard year, what should we do? What does the Bible exhort us to do? Keep hopeful. Not just in life returning back to some normality, but in the greater hope to come that one day Jesus will restore this world to what he made it to be, its good, perfect state, making all things new. Second day, don't just keep hopeful. As followers of Jesus, we must keep going. Let's keep going as a church. Look again at the verse. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Followers of Jesus, we have a hope, don't we? We have a hope, but that does not mean that life is going to be easy for us now. Life is full of afflictions. In fact, the New Testament tells us that, especially for Christians, life is full of afflictions. Think of those verses. If anyone wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, he will be persecuted. He will face afflictions. It's the same word. We must go through many hardships, many afflictions to enter the kingdom of God. It's par for the course, if I could use a golfing analogy, with the Christian life. It's what we should anticipate and expect as we share in the sufferings of Christ. See, it's this word afflictions that we have here. It is a word that means to be under pressure. It's a word that means to be kind of squeezed and to feel inner distress or outer distress, physical distress. Now, many of ourselves find ourselves there, don't we, right now? In a time of pressure, feeling squeezed in different ways. Now, in the New Testament, these afflictions can come because we are followers of Jesus. They can come because people are against us. We're sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And I know that as a church family, some of you are there right now, that you're struggling and suffering for Christ in your family settings or your work settings. But the word afflictions can also mean generally. The general afflictions of our world, living in a broken world, the sufferings caused by sin, sicknesses, viruses, deaths, pandemics, that comes under the general word afflictions. See, some of us are facing afflictions right now because of COVID, but some of us, it's just afflictions because of other things. And it's into this afflictions, which we're all experiencing in different ways, that the call comes to be patient. That means to keep going. Patient perhaps gives up the wrong impression. It's hard to pick an English word when you're translating sometimes, isn't it? And so the NIV, the Bible we use, has picked this word patience, but that kind of conjures up the idea of passively waiting, isn't it? Just, we'll sit back and we'll just take it all as it comes. But actually, the word that's used here, it's far more about an active endurance. To be patient means to endure. It's that deliberateness to say, yes, this is painful, yes, this is hard, but I am going to keep going. And it actually means to maintain one's belief, to maintain one's course. I will not be deterred. I am going to keep going with Jesus. I am going to keep following this life of faith, even though life is tough. Last year, I read the autobiography of an SAS soldier, and he tells the story of his selection process for joining the Special Forces. And it was the last night of his selection process. It was a really tough evening. The fog had come down, they get dropped into a location, they have to make their way to a checkpoint. He said, I couldn't do a thing, I couldn't see a thing, I couldn't get any reference to where I was. His feet were raw from all the exercises he'd done, his back was stripped from the backpack he had to wear, his lungs were burning. He thought, this is it, I failed. And there you go, there's a sound from heaven for us. He thought, I'd failed. And then eventually he found a little path. And he literally just ran, and he said, I put one foot in front of the other and one foot in front of the other. And he said, I just kept going, I kept going, and I kept going. And eventually, I reached the checkpoint. He says there were moments on that night he can't even remember, but he does remember just putting one foot in front of the other. And friends, that captures what this word endurance means. It means putting one foot in front of the other and keeping on going. That's what we're called to as Christians in 2021. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to endure? How are we going to keep going? Well, the answer is found in the first bit of the instruction. Be joyful in hope. It's as we keep hope that we're enabled to keep going as Christians in this world. Hope will keep us going, enable us to patiently endure afflictions, whatever twists and turns life may take. Listen to these words from one writer. I think this is just worth reading because it's so good. It says this, no man, or indeed woman, will calmly and quietly submit to bear afflictions, but he who has learned to seek his happiness beyond this world, so as to mitigate and allay the bitterness of afflictions with the consolations of hope. Friends, Jesus himself knew what it was to endure with hope set before him. Listen to these words from Hebrews 12. It tells us there to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, there's what was before him, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, the same word, patience. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured, there it is again, endured such opposition, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus endured, and we are called to lift our eyes to him so that we might patiently endure. When faced with 2021, keep hopeful. Keep hopeful about Jesus. Keep going with Jesus, fixing your eyes on him as we wait for him, patiently bear with affliction after affliction that comes our way. But third, keep praying. Look how the verse goes on. Be faithful in prayer. When life is tough, let's be honest for a moment, someone standing at the front of a building and telling you to be joyful and patient doesn't sound very easy, does it? I mean, none of us are sitting there thinking, yeah, I'm in for a bit of that. Joyful patience seems beyond us, doesn't it, sometimes? Doesn't it seem a bit like wishful thinking? Well, sounds good. It's a bit of a pep talk from the front of church. But actually, it's why we need the third instruction. Keep praying. Be faithful in prayer. How on earth am I going to be joyful in hope when life feels so rubbish? How on earth am I going to keep going as a Christian when we can't do the things that we were used to doing last year? How can I keep going like this as a Christian? The answer is to pray. Pray. A reminder that in another year we must be people of prayer. We must keep praying. Prayer is our act of dependence on God for every circumstance of life. Prayer is mercy-given access. Okay, we only have access to God because of his mercy, but it's mercy-given access to more of his mercy. It's your hotline, it's your bat phone, as it were, to the mercy seat, where we're gonna get help in our times of need. Prayer is our source of help when we need joyfulness and we need patience. An old Victorian preacher called Charles Spurgeon, he has this lovely picture for these three things in Romans 12, verse 12. He says that every Christian needs to take two, I don't know why I'm putting on a posh voice, sorry about that, but anyway, maybe he was. He says every Christian needs to take these two tablets of joy and patience. He says, but they can only be washed down with a large glass of prayer. What a beautiful picture. How do you get joyfulness and patience? It's only as you wash them down with a large glass of prayer. Friends, as we enter 2021, we've got to be a people who are praying. Not just prayers in a crisis, not just prayers out of duty, but look what it says in the verse, faithful in prayer. Now that word faithful is again, it's a much stronger word than we would use faithful. It's often translated in the Bible as the word persevere, perseverance, or be devoted to prayer. Is that you? In all honesty, is that you? One translation of the Bible puts it like this: steadfastly maintain the habit of prayer. Do you have a habit of prayer that you could maintain this year? This word that we translate here, faithful, really captures both the idea that prayer should be consistent, we should keep doing it, but it also captures something of the idea that it takes effort. It is going to take you a lot of effort to get praying. You know, friends, we're not just going to stumble into this. You're not going to wake up one morning and suddenly be this kind of warrior of faithful prayer. No, it takes effort. to get there. It takes the forming of habits. I'm really grateful that the Bible is real with us. The Bible knows that we're people who struggle to pray. The Bible knows that we our minds drift. The Bible knows that we struggle to stay awake, perhaps, if we do it at different times of the day. The Bible knows that it's hard to pray, but it is very real about the fact that we need to pray. And so how will you keep praying as you enter 2021? As you face another year, how will you be faithful and devoted to prayer this year? Maybe for some of you, you don't have a prayer habit as such. And I want to encourage you as you start a year to start one. And my tips for you if you want to start a praying life is this. Start small and start regular. Set an alarm on your phone and just say, I'm going to pray at this time every day. And start small. Just start with a small prayer and keep it regular. Keep to that appointment. Keep to that alarm that buzzes on your phone. Start small and start regular. And what do you pray? Well, if you don't know what to pray, start with the Lord's Prayer. It's a great way to springboard into other things to pray for. But I want to say to you, whatever you pray, be honest with God. Be real with God. You don't have to wrap it up. You don't have to come with fancy language. You don't have to put on a posh voice like I did with the Spurgeon quote. God wants you to come to him. And so if you're going to start this year a habit of prayer, if you want to live out being faithful in prayer, start small, start regular, and be honest with God. Just be real with him. As followers of Jesus facing another hard year, we've got to keep praying. Keep looking to God for the help that we need. Friends, Romans 12, verse 12, is a direction for us from God as we face into 2021. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. As we enter another tough year, or what could be another tough year for us, what's the thrust of this for us as a church? Keep hopeful. Church, keep lifting your eyes to what we believe is coming. Not as wishful thinking, but with certainty, guaranteed for us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, promised to us in his word. Jesus is coming again. Be joyful about that. When everything else has been stripped away, keep hopeful. Keep going. Let's help one another to be deliberate in putting one foot in front of the other. Take one day at a time. Keep going with endurance, filled with hope. Trusting in Jesus who endured before us. And let's keep praying. Let's be committed and regular in seeking God's help. And I'd love you to join us in our week of prayer this week, that we might start the year how we mean to go on, being faithful in prayer. Let's take a moment's quiet. Maybe God's just put his finger on something this morning in your life or your heart that he wants you to respond to. So let's just take a moment to do that. Take a moment's quiet, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for these directions of your word. We thank you, first of all, that many of us can truly say that we have been shown mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given hope, real hope, living hope, birthed into your family where we will enjoy an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. We praise you for the hope that you've given us today. And we ask, Father, that as we face into a hard year, some of it for COVID reasons, for some of us it's other reasons, but as we face into that year, Lord, please would we find our joy and learn to look for our happiness not in the shifting things of this world, but in the solid realities of the world to come. Father, lift our eyes, help us to do what Calvin all those years back encouraged his contemporaries to do, which is to raise our minds to heaven. Please may we be people who do that and encourage each other to do that this year. Father, help us to be joyful in that. And we ask, please, that you would help us to be patient in afflictions. May we fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured, patiently went through afflictions. May we look to him that we might not lose heart or grow weary. May we maintain our course of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And please keep us faithful in prayer. Please keep us looking to you rather than to other things for the help that we need this year. Please, Father, help us to form those habits of prayer. Father, help us to start small. Help us to start regular. Help us to start honestly. Father, please, would you stir in us a faithfulness, a perseverance, a devotedness to prayer. Father, knowing that those who look to you will never be put to shame. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.